Hi, everybody. Today we're going to be talking about subroutines and randomness and do a little bit of recap of listen, scratch, and a little bit of the machine language. Just a few things. The midterm is on the 3rd, which is a Wednesday. And a week from this coming Wednesday, we're going to do another lab at the ARC building. So I'm going to send out an email and an announcement just to give you a heads up about that. Homework 2 has been graded. If you have any questions about it, about your grade, please email the TA. His name is Amr, and his email is on the website. Okay, any questions about anything else or clicker grades? Did everybody check their clicker grades? Okay, any complaints? Well, send them to Eric, if you do. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's probably a mistake. Yeah, make sure the material is the same then. I'm going to be talking. It should be the same. Okay, so we're going to dive in. Let's do a few clicker questions on machine language. So again, these are the legal instructions. We said that everything, any instructions we have, we can reduce it to a full set of these basic instructions. And so here's a machine language program, and the question is, what will accumulator be after all of these instructions are executed? And the program is accumulator equals A, N equals not accumulator, accumulator equals B, accumulator equals accumulator or N. And the options are A, accumulator equals not A, B, accumulator equals B, C, accumulator equals not A or B, and E, accumulator E equals not B or A, E equals A and B. I'll stop at 1:45. Maybe, yeah, 1:45. Maybe 15 more seconds. Five more seconds. Stopping. All right, I think that was a good answer, the right answer. Let's do this one. So we said we're gonna go over, we're gonna make this table, we're gonna write everything that's on the left-hand side of the equals, we're going to put in the table, and we're going to keep track of how the variables change. First instruction is accumulator equals A. We put A in the accumulator. The next one is N equals not accumulator. So it's computing what's on the right-hand side of the equal, and that is not A, and putting it in N. And then accumulator equals B. been, what will n be after each of these instructions is executed? Then all you have to do is look at what n was, the last value, and that's going to be your answer. Okay, next question. This time it's asking what will e be after these instructions are executed. And the program is accumulator equals not a, e equals accumulator equals b, accumulator equals accumulator or c, and e equals accumulator and e. And the options are a, the program can't be executed because it contains illegal instructions, b, e equals not a, and paren b or c equals paren, c, e equals b or c and not a, d, e equals not paren a and b or c, close paren, and e equals false. I will stop at 2:15. Stopping. Okay, majority was right. This time it's a little more spread out, though. So let's see. I think the tricky choice is between B and C, and I think the percentages show that. The reason why that is, they both look the same, but the parentheses go in different places. And so I think I went over this one because it's interesting that way. So first thing we do is we put not a in the accumulator. Then we copy whatever's in the accumulator, we put it in E. We copy B in the accumulator. The accumulator becomes accumulator or C, so B or C. And then E equals accumulator and E. And so I said that whenever something's computed in accumulator and E in any variable, we put parentheses around it. Because we see it as B or C, but it's actually B has a truth value, C has a truth value. That this operation is executed, and the value is going to be replaced. So in accumulator, we're going to have true or false depending on what this expression is going to be. And so we have to put parentheses around it because it's already computed and it's not going to change. So then E equals accumulator and E. So accumulator and E becomes E or C. And not A. Okay, so C is wrong because if we say B or C, and not A, what is the operation that we do first in this case? what each one of these is depending on the values of A, B, and C. So we have eight combinations of values.
Got it. There's going to be a homework, which will be due next week on Wednesday. It's going to be just machine language, and I said that we're going to have a kind of a scratch Halloween card contest, so I'm going to be sending it tomorrow morning, and you guys can ask me questions on Wednesday and next Monday. But it'll have detailed instructions, and maybe I'll talk more about it. So I'm going to skip this. Okay, and let's go on with talking about Lisp and Scratch for a little bit. So we're going to start with a clicker question. And the question is, you have a script, and I'm going to read the script because it might not be very easy to see. And the question is, what will the sprite say? And you get a list. The list is 5, 10, 9, 7, 10, and 7 again. That's your list. And the script says the following. When the flag is clicked, you set the counter to 1. Counter is a variable. Then you set x to 0. And then you repeat until counter equals the length of L plus 1. So when the counter is equal to the length of L plus 1, you stop. Inside the repeat until, you have if item counter of L equals item 2 of L, change x by item counter of L. And also inside the repeat until, you have wait 1 second and change counter by 1. And after the repeat until, you have say x for 2 seconds. And your options are, so what would the sprite say? A, 10, B, 2, C, 20, D, X, E, L. Yeah. It says change counter by 1. If you can't see, you can ask me questions about the script. What's up at 4? Five more seconds. Stopping. All right, so this was obviously a hard problem, and I did that on purpose. Somebody who answered A, can you tell me why you chose, or what's the logic of it, of your answer? You know, this is obviously, you know, it's not going to be embarrassing because it's definitely everybody's very confused. I mean, most people. Let me close this. Or somebody who feels like they would like to share why they answered A. No. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Okay, so what does it do? What does it do? What does this script do? So when the add item, so every time it runs, so it's obviously going through the list, right? And every time it's running into something that is equal to the item 2 of L, which is 10, so every time it runs into 10, it adds that number to X, right? So how many times does it run into the second item of the list as it's going through this?
Twice.
Twice, right? Okay. So I'm going to let you guys talk about this for a little bit, and then we're going to have a very similar question. Again. So I'm hoping that, you know, people will talk about it that might help you understand this problem. I'm going to leave this problem up and you guys can talk. It encounters 10 twice and it goes, every time it encounters 10, it adds 10 to X. And X starts by being 0. So I'm not explicitly telling you the answer because I want you to talk to each other about it. And then after the next question, I'm going to explain and go over the script again. When it's 7, it stops. But you still, if you stop it, if you don't have that plus 1, it's not going to look at the last element in the list. Because it's going to say, oh, I got to 6. I'm going to get out of the repeat until loop, right? It needs to stay in the loop until it finishes. And then when that becomes 7, it can exit.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so we're going to do the next question. Now, before we do that, everybody who has a computer, please close it. I know this is Scratch and it's a computer kind of thing, but not everybody has computers. So I think it's fair if everybody just turn off your computer for this one. Okay? Okay. So let's do this question. So this is the same script, except I changed the if item counter of L equals item 2 of L, I changed that to if item counter of L equals item last of L. And the list is the same list. It's 5, 10, 9, 7, 10, 7. And the question is, what will the sprite say? Options are A, X, B, 14, C, 6, D, 7, E, L. Yeah, it's the same question. Well, it's not exactly the same question. I will stop at 2. Stopping in 5 seconds. Stopping. Well, I don't know if it changed it much, but I think this is the same problem as before. So the majority had the right answer, but slightly lower, but pretty comparable was the answer where, you know, it's just the item, the value of the item that we're talking about. So this is exactly the same problem, right? Okay, let's walk through it. So what does this do? Counter is just a variable that holds the current. So we're going to be looking at each one of these, each item of the list, right? And so a counter will kind of store, okay, item. It's going to be 1 for the first item. It's going to be 2 for the second item, and so on. And X is some kind of variable. We don't know what it is yet, but it starts by being 0. What we're going to do is we're going to repeat until the value of the counter becomes the length of the list plus 1. And what we're going to do is we're going to take each item of the list and we're going to compare it to the last item of the list. And remember, item last of L is the value inside the list so the last item of L is 7 in this case, right? And so we want to see if each element of the list is equal to 7. So we're going to take each item of the list, compare it to 7. If that happens, we're going to change X by item counter of L. So the current number, so let's take one example, right? In the case of the fourth item of the list is equal to the last item of the list. And so that's going to add its value to the value of X. So, the cat is going to go over each element of the list. Is this element equal to the last element? No. Is this element equal to the last element? No. And so on until it reaches the fourth element. It says yes, and then it adds 7 to the value of X. x was 0, it's going to make it 7. And then the next time it runs into the last item of the list is when counter is 6. And when counter is 6, the sixth item of the list is obviously equal to the sixth item of the list. And that's going to add another 7 to x. And so x is going to be 7 plus 7, which is 14. Okay? So that's what's happening. But remember this kind of loop. Repeat until counter equals length of L plus 1. And counter starts by being 1. That is if you want to go over a list and do something on the list, print all the elements, search for a number, sum up all the elements, whatever, you're gonna see this kind of loop. And this kind of loop always does, we need this kind of loop because we need to go systematically through each element of the list. And you're gonna see it a lot. And so let's talk a little bit about just the basic functions of the list, because we're going to be having this kind of, we're going to have exercises during the Scratch lab. And so I want everybody to be familiar with these functions. So the first thing that we can do is adding something to a list. When you go into Scratch, under variables, you can make a variable, you can make a list. And if you want to make a list, you call it L or list, whatever. And all these blocks are going to show up. And the first one is adding something to a list. You can add a thing to a list. You can add either a text to a list, or you can add a number to a list, and so on. And so what this is going to do is, if you say when flag is clicked, let's say you start with an empty list, you add 23, you add 4, and you add 2010. And that's going to make this this list with all these numbers. Adding something to a list always adds to the end of the list. So in the beginning, when it says add 23 to list, the list is going to be having only 23 in it. When we add 4, that's going to add 4 at the end of the list, and so on. And you can see the list, and you can see that its length is 3. So it's always showing the length of the list. If you want to delete an element, you have to say which element you want to delete. And so if you notice in Scratch here, you have delete, and then you have something, you can write a number here, and you have the list here. So this number says the item number that you want to delete. So if you want to delete the first number, the first item, you can say delete one of L, and that's not going to look in the list for number 1. It's going to go to the first item, so here's the item number, and it's just going to delete it. And so if you do, so before delete the first element of list, that's what your list is. That's what your list looks like. After you're going to have the list, the same list without the first element of the list. If you want to, do it a little smarter, you can adding. If you want to do adding a little smarter, you can just use insert. Remember, adding always adds at the end of the list. If you want to insert it somewhere in the middle, you're going to use insert. And insert always takes, just like delete, it takes the index, the item number that you want to delete. So you can say insert 3 at last, so last element of the list is going to be 3. If you say insert 3 at last, that's the last thing we did. Now, if we want to do insert 9 at 3 of list, notice how this list has already has 3 elements. And so if you say insert 9 at 3, it's going to go here. It's going to kind of push everything that was after 3 down 1, and then it's going to insert 9 where you want it to. So in this case, 9 is going to be the third element, and 3 is going to become the fourth element. And if there were more elements here, everybody would go down 1, and 9 would be inserted at the third element of this. So it doesn't replace it. It just adds it to the list. If you want to replace something, you can use replace item. So you replace the third item of the list with 100. So before replacing, that was your list. And then now 9 gets replaced with 100 because it's at item 3. This says you can use the length of the list, which we talked about. The length of the list is just how many elements are in the list. So if you run this script, the cat is going to say 4, because that's how many there are. And this is, again, pretty important. We're going to see this a lot. If you want to just enumerate all the elements in the list, you can just do a counter and go over the whole list, just like we've seen before. So you repeat until the counter equals the length of L plus 1, and you just say the item counter of L for 2 seconds, 3 seconds, however much. And then you have to change the counter by 1. If you don't do this change the counter by 1, it's never going to be able to get out of this repeat until loop. So let's do this one. The question is, what will the sprite say again? And your script is, when the flag is clicked, you insert 63 at 1 of num. So num is a list. You insert 63 as the first element. You insert 65 as the first element. You insert 67 as the first element. Then you set x to 1. And you repeat until x equals the length of num plus 1. Inside the repeat until loop, you say item x of num for 2 seconds, and you change x by 1. And the options are, so what will the sprite say? A, 63, 65, 67. It's going to say, B, it's going to say item x of num 3 times. So literally, item x of num. C, 63. D, 67, 65, 63. And E, 67. And assume that the list is empty before you do all these operations. I'll stop at 2:20. Stopping. Okay, just as I expected. Majority was right. So here's what happens. The list is empty in the beginning. And then we say insert 63 at 1. So our list is going to be 63. Then we say insert 65 at 1. So we said that if this item is already taken, everything's going to move down, and it's going to make room for the new element. Because insert says, I definitely want 65 to be the first element in the list so far. So 65 is going to go here, it's going to go here, and then 63 is going to move down. When we do the third insert, the same thing happens. 67 is going to be the first one, and everybody moves down. So after we set x to 1, and we repeat until x equals the length of num plus 1. So x is 1, length of num is, what's length of num? 3. X is not equal to length of num. We say item x of num. We set the first item, 67, and we change x by 1. We make it 2. X is still not equal to the length of num plus 1. So we say item x, item 2, and change x
to go over all the elements of this. And so I'm making x 3, and so I'm staying in the loop because x is still not equal to 4. And I say item x of L, making x 4. Now x is equal to length of non plus 1, and so I'm stopped. So that's what this writes up.
Okay, here's another question. This is about, it's the same kind of idea. So the flag, when the flag is clicked, you set the counter to 1. You repeat until the counter equals the length of L plus 1. Inside the repeat until, you have if item counter of L equals 7, say counter for 1 second. Then after the if, still in the repeat until loop, you have wait 1 second and change counter by 1. And that ends the repeat until loop and the script. Your list is 5, 10, 9, 7, 10, 7. And the question is, what will the sprite say? The options are A, it's going to say 4 and then 6. B, it's going to say 7. C, it's going to say 7 and then 7. D, it's going to say counter. And E, it's going to say 6. Maybe 5 more seconds. Stopping. All right. So the battle is between A and C. All right. Let's see. Let's do this one too. So I'm setting the counter to 1. Is what I usually do when I want to go over a list. And I'm saying repeat until counter equals length of L plus 1. If item counter of L equals 7, so item counter is item 1. So is 5 equal to 7? It's not. I get out of the if I wait 1 second and I change counter by 1, make it 2. Is item counter of L equals 7? No, it's actually 10. So I change the counter by 1 and make it 3. Is the third item equal to 7? It's not. I make the counter 4. Is the fourth item of the list equal to 7? And it actually is. And so I'm going into the if, and I say the counter for 1 second. What's the counting? So I say 4. All right, and then I change the counter by 1, make it 5. Nothing happens for 5, make it 6. Actually, item 6 of the list is again equal to 7, and so I'm going to say the counter again, which is... So this is the difference between item number... So this is the difference between these numbers and these numbers. Right. had to say, okay, which numbers here correspond to elements of the list that are equal to 7? For this one, I only changed inside the if. What happens inside the if is you say counter of L for 1 second instead of you say counter for 1 second. So same script, same option, same list. Please turn off your computers. Or close them temporarily. Thank you. Yeah. The difference is that inside the if, instead of saying counter for 1 second, you say item counter for 1 second. Stopping at 1:45. Stopping. Right, that's much better. Is that good or bad? Okay, so the difference here is now we want to say, every time we run into an element at 7, we want to actually say that element. So it's actually going to say the elements that are equal to 7. Good. For this one, we still go over the whole list, and you have the same list available. This time, though, if you run into an element that is equal to 7, you say item counter minus 1 of the list, instead of saying item counter of the list. And you have the same options. I guess you don't have the same options. The options are A for 6, B 7, C 7 and 7, D 9 and 10, E 6 and 6. Stopping at 1:45 again. Okay, stopping. Wow, that's pretty close. Okay. So, when we run into an element that is equal to 7, so let's say we keep track of our counter, which starts by being 1, nothing happens for counter being 1, counter being 2, counter being 3. Now, when counter is 4, that if is actually true. So if item counter of L is 7, and it is,
You have to say the item counter minus one. So what is counter minus one? Three. Counter minus one is three. What is item three in the list? Nine. And so you basically say, if you run into an element at seven, you say the previous element in the list. And again, that the same thing is going to happen when counter is six, right? Because item counter of the list is equal to seven. And when you run into that, counter is six, and counter minus one is five. And so the fifth element in the list is 10.
Any questions? I think this is the last one.
So you have the same list, and you, inside the repeat until loop, repeat until counter equals length of L plus one, same thing, you have an item counter of L equals item two of L, change X by one. And then wait 1 second, and then change the counter by one. And outside of the loop, you have set say X for 2 seconds. And X starts by being 0, the counter starts by being 1. The question is, what will the sprite say? A, it's going to say X. B, it's going to say 6. C, it's going to say 20. D, it's going to say 2. And E, it's going to say 5.
Please close your computers. Everybody who has a computer on, please close it. It's fair this way, I think. I'll be stopping at 2:40. Okay, so majority is right. There's some, okay, for E is 5. I'm not sure, I don't think anybody who had the answer E will. Would anybody who answered E want to explain why they answered E? I guess not. All right. Okay. So we're going to continue talking about subroutines. And last time we, one of the previous time we talked about how subroutines, yeah. Yes, I can. Okay, so I'll explain why the answer was true. So what does the script do, right? It's setting the counter to 1 and x to 0. So we have two variables. Counter go over the list, and the counter is keeping track of the item number of the element that we're currently looking at. So first of all, we're going to be looking at the first element and asking the question, does item counter of L, so does item 1 of L equal item 2 of L? Does 5 equal 10? It does, right? All right, so we don't worry about that. We make the counter, we change the counter by 1, we make it 2. Now, does the second item of L equal the second item of L? It does. So what do we do in that case? We change x by 1. Okay, we make x 1. We continue doing that, and you can see how for counter being 3, 4, 3 and 4, nothing's going to change, right? Because the if is not, the statement inside the if is not going to be true, and it's just going to change the counter. So let's see what happens when we get to counter being 5. Again, item counter of L, item 5 of L is equal to the second item of L, and that's going to change x by 1 again. Going to make it 2. And then we're changing counter again to 6. The 6th item is not equal to the 2nd item. We make it 7. And that gets us out of the loop because the counter equals the length of L minus plus 1. So if you were to think of this as a, if you were to have a kind of a global image of the script, what does the script actually do? If we give it one a list, any list, what does it do? What will it return? Yeah?
How many times the item
shows up in the list. Yeah, exactly. So every time it's going to take each element of the list, it's going to ask the question, does this element equal the second element? And it's going to count it. Notice how x actually counts the elements that are equal to the second element. Every time we run into something that's equal to the second element, we increase the x by 1. So it's almost like counting, 1, 2, da da da. In this case, it's 2. Does that clarify? So we said that subroutines actually help us write smaller code. And we had the drawing a square where instead of saying move 100 steps, turn 90 degrees 4 times, you can just put a repeat for what you wanted to repeat 4 times, and that's going to make a square. So we saw in previous lectures how a very big code can be turned into a very small code, and that we like that. We don't like to spend a lot of time coding, and we want to be efficient. Another way to see how subroutines work and how they make our life so much easier is to look at songs. And so if you were to sing a song, if you were to think of maybe even typing the lyrics of a song, if you have this, if you have the song, this is a Clementine, the Clementine, you would have to type every single line of the song or sing every line of the song, right? And so if you were to write a scratch code, you would play, let's say you play the first line, you play the second line, you play the third line, and that would be kind of your scratch program that sings this song. But if you want to be more efficient, if you want to write smaller code, you can notice that the chorus, the lines in the chorus, repeat every other verse, right? So you have the verse, you have the chorus, you have the verse, you have the chorus. And so you don't have to play those songs, you don't have to write that code every time. You can just make a subroutine that looks like this. When I receive chorus, and then you just play, the sound, play the lines of the chorus, right? You play the first line and the second line of the chorus. And then when you make the when you make the whole song, instead of writing this thing over and over again, you just broadcast the chorus. And when you broadcast the chorus, when the script gets to hear, it's just going to play the lines of the chorus. And so, chorus is almost like its own little entity that is a little separate from the song. And if we write it this way, it kind of becomes half the size of the original song, which is really good. We like that. If you have video songs, apparently are very good at this kind of, showing this kind of structure. So if you look at the song, what will be the subroutines that you would define? What is there anything that you see repeating in the song? Yeah, how many lines is that? How many lines would you define? So maybe four lines, right? It's this part. And, oh, maybe more, right? So six lines get repeated, right? Is there any other option that you see? So if you choose that, you would just define your little subroutine that would play just the blue part, and then you start with that. You start with the blue part. Then you do whatever's between the blue part. Sorry. You do whatever is between the blue parts, then you do the blue part again, and then you finish up the song. Another option is there's the and then while I'm away part, which is three lines, which repeats here and here and here. So it repeats three times. And so the close part actually includes the smaller part with and when while I'm away. And so the close part can be you play the blue part without the yellow part, then you play the yellow part, and that's your close part, right? And so notice how close here is you play the blue part without the yellow part, and then the yellow part. And the yellow part is just the three lines here. So the whole song is going to be the close part, just like before, the close part and whatever's in between the blue parts, and again, the blue part, and so on, right? And so you can notice how subroutines can also call other subroutines, right? So you have this nesting in, the subroutines inside of other subroutines. This is a very interesting song in terms of structure. This is the Old MacDonald song, and every verse talks about a new animal, and it also talks about all the previous animals that you talk about. And so the first verse talks about the cow, and the second verse talks about the pig and the cow, and each verse adds a new animal. And so notice how it's built and how it grows and how each verse adds to adds more verses, adds more lines to the song. So how would we define subroutines in this song? Well, we could take the blue part, for example, which talks about the cow, and that repeats in each verse. And we could have a part for about the pig, and a part about the horse, and about the chick, and we could combine them all together. So, but notice that every time that we talk about the pig, we also talk about the cow. So wherever there's a red part, there's also a blue part. And wherever there's a nay part, there's going to be a red part and a blue part. And so we have more structure kind of than just a chorus, right? So we can, at the lowest level, if we were to write a program that would sing the song, we would have the verse about the cow, then the verse about the pig, then the verse about the horse, and the verse about the chick. Let's say we have four verses. So if we wanted to write the verse about the cow, we would do whatever the common part is, and then we broadcast moo. And what moo does, it's just singing when moo moo here and moo moo there, here moo every, there moo everywhere, moo moo, and then you're done. When you do the pig though, inside the pig, you're going to play the oink oink part, and then you can just broadcast the moo part. And that's always going to be the case because the red part was always followed by the blue part. Same for the horse, when you play the neigh and then you broadcast the oink. And the chick, you play the chick part and then you broadcast the neigh. And whenever neigh is broadcasted, remember oink happens too. And whenever oink happens, the moo part happens too. So that's a very compact way of writing this whole song. What if we have this song? So this song is, all the verses are exactly the same thing, except for this one word. So if we wanted to write it more compactly, it's kind of tricky because it almost looks like, oh, well, you know, we have to just go ahead and write the whole song. But we can't let just a small thing, stop us from trying to write it in a more compact way. So what we're going to do is we're going to make a list with each element of the list is going to be the word needed for that verse. So the first element is going to be waiting. The second element is going to be hoping. The third element is going to be coming. And then we're going to use this list to write our song. So this is going to be our list, just like I said. And then item one of words is going to be the word needed in the first verse. Item two of words is going to be the word needed in the second verse, and so on. So the way we write it is we just say, you know, roll up for the mystery tour four times. That's how the song works. And then we're going to say, in each verse, we're going to say item I of words. And I is going to be the number of the verse number. So the big song is going to start by setting I to 1. We're going to do the first verse first. We're going to broadcast the verse. And when we broadcast the verse here, I is going to be 1. So it's going to say item 1 of words, which is waiting. So it's just going to replace just the word very nicely. After we're done with the verse, it's changing I by 1. It's making it 2, broadcasting the verse again. The verse is going to use the second item of the list, and so on. So that's our very, and that's a more compact way of writing it. Another thing to notice is that we have broadcast verse and wait, change I by 1, broadcast verse and wait, change I by 1. Can we do something to make it smaller? Can we do something to make that smaller? Yeah.
A loop.
A loop. What kind of loop? Any kind of loop, right? Right, so because we have a fixed structure, we don't have to worry about repeat until. We can just use a repeat loop. And so it's going to repeat 3 times, broadcast the verse and wait, and then we have a little part at the end that we still need to do. So that's our whole song. That big song that we were supposed to type it all up is written very compactly this way. Another thing to notice is that we can make a recursive song. And remember, we talked about recursive subroutines a little while ago. The McDonald's song called, remember when we did the oink part, we called the moo part. So the pig part called the cow part, and so on. We can make a subroutine that calls itself. And so that's called recursion, as we saw. In the definition of the subroutine, we are going to use that same subroutine. This is a recursive song, and it's the bottles of beer song. Actually, it's not recursive, but we're going to define it recursively. And so this song, each verse is a number. And then, so each verse is pretty much identical except for this number, which is the number of bottles of beer, which goes down every verse. Just one of them happens to fall, then you have one less bottle of beer. The way to write this is we can just have a number. So the bottles is going to be a variable, and that's going to give us the number of bottles that is left. And then we can broadcast the sing beer song. Okay, so we start by setting the number to 99, because that's where we start. We broadcast the sing beer song. Inside of it, we are going to go, how long do you go when you sing the song? Well, you're going to go until either you're bored. Let's say you never get bored, you just love the song. You're going to have to stop when you get to 0, right? Because if you have 0 bottles of beer, there's not, you can go to -1, -2. Okay, let's say we're normal people, we're. And so you have to go on until bottles is 0, right? So as long as bottles is bigger than 0, so the number of bottles, you have to say bottles. So you say, remember we use variables. So bottles is going to be a variable that starts by being 99. And so when this starts, it's going to say 99 bottles of beer on the wall, 99 bottles of beer. If one of these bottles should happen to fall, you change bottles by -1, you make it 98. Say bottles for, so say 98 bottles of beer on the wall. And then something very interesting happens. We broadcast ourselves, right? Notice here it's where we define the subroutine. You broadcast sing beer song again. What this is going to do, bottles is 98 now, it's going to say, if bottles is still bigger than 0, it is, 98 is bigger than 0, it's saying 98 bottles of beer, 98 bottles of beer, change bottles by -1, make it 97, say 97 bottles of beer on the wall, and then you go and do it again. And this is going to go on until we reach zero. So this is, remember, the proper recursion is always, you have to give it a stopping condition, and you have to define what happens if you are not stopping at this point. So this is a recursive, this is a subroutine that's defined properly, because we know that we're going to stop when we reach zero bottles of beer. And if we haven't reached zero bottles of beer, we explain, okay, what happens if we haven't reached zero bottles of beer on them. So, you know, people are very scared of recursion for a good reason, but, you know, recursion happens every day. There's a lot of vegetables that are recursive, like cauliflower and broccoli, as I said before. And there's also recursion that is not okay. It's not done properly. This song is, I played it once in class and everybody was totally horrified because it gets stuck, and it gets stuck in my head too. Hopefully it won't get stuck, and don't think about it. But the problem with this song is that there's no stopping condition in it, right? And so, when I click the sprite, it broadcasts song that doesn't end. And when I receive song that doesn't end, you play the verse, which is this, and then you broadcast yourself again. You play the verse, you broadcast yourself again. What's wrong with this problem? What's wrong with this recursion? Yeah, there's no stopping condition, and so that's going to go forever, right? And, yeah. So, I'm going to start talking about how the size of the song grow as we add verses to it. Because this is going to help us later, we're going to talk about algorithms, which are methods of solving problems. And we're going to be comparing, this method is better than this method. And our measure is going to be, how much time does it take to actually run this thing? And so I'm just going to start briefly introducing this concept, and then we're going to pick it up next time. And so imagine that songs are have n verses, n can be any number. And we're going to see as n grows, how does the number of syllables in the song grow? And so let's say you have this the dreidel song, and you can make a version that has lots and lots of verses. You can think of all the materials that you can make the dreidel out of. And as you add verses to the song, how does the number of syllables change? So one way to do it is, okay, if you have one verse, just count how many syllables there are, right? This is pretty easy. If you have two verses, the song becomes, so if you have one verse, the song has 51 syllables if you were to count them. If you have two verses, the whole song is going to be 109 syllables. If you have three, it's 161, four, and so on. So if you were to plot it, it would look like a line, because each verse is 54 syllables, roughly, and as you add verses to the song, it's going to grow as 54 times n, right? And, you know, if you have 10 verses, that's going to be 540 syllables. If you have the McDonald's song, and this is going to be the last one that we're going to do. You have the every verse has a blue part that has 25 syllables. It has another blue part that has 12 syllables, and then it has basically however many animals you're talking about. So in this case, there's four animals. Each animal has 22 syllables. And so each verse is going to be the 37 syllables, the blue part, plus however many animals you have times 22. All right, I think we should be done because people are leaving. We're going to start with this next time.